At that point in time, I didn't want to do the introduction because it began. I wanted to put it on pace with doing the Christmas sermon, so I set the introduction aside. And I was like, okay, when do I do it? And then I thought, okay, I'm going to do it on a Sunday morning. Well, I've already started that, and I don't really feel led to do it on a Sunday morning. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach it in here. They're going to record it, so if anybody wants to have the introduction, they can. There's just some really neat things in about the book of Luke, and I guess some interesting things try to whet your appetite a little bit. And then we are going to look at verses 1-4. But the book of Luke is different than the other gospels, and I just want to give you kind of a breakdown and some things I found interesting. Hopefully, some things that you'll find interesting and just encourage you in your walk with the Lord. But also, as we're going through the book of Luke, there's 1,151 verses. So you know what? We're going to be in the book of Luke for probably at least a year, if not longer. I encourage you to get on the path with us. I encourage you to be reading with us, going step by step. Now, sometimes we will skip little portions, not very often, on Sunday mornings and go to different spots. Like this week, the next spot would have been Jesus at the temple. Instead, we're going to Luke chapter number 3 in the morning worship service. We're going to talk about John the Baptist. I want Jesus as a young person to be taught when all the young people were out there. So on one of the Sunday nights this year, we're going to look at Jesus and how he grew in stature and favor of God and man. And we're going to look at that. But we're going to do that on a Sunday night when the teenagers and the kids are all going to be in there too. You know, this week we're talking about the repentance, the message of repentance from John. Next week we're talking about the baptism of Jesus. If you read that chapter, or chapter other ones, you get ready and prepare your heart. If you're seeking after the Lord, the Lord will speak to your heart. In the book, Gospel of Luke, just a wonderful book of the Bible. Different people would say there's different key verses. I think that this is, in my mind, the key verse for it. It's Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So as we introduce this book, this is one of the four Gospels. And as we look at this book, I want you to look at some different things. First of all, I want you to think about the writer. Most of us know who the writer is. It's Luke. And that's, you say, well, that's obvious. Well, not always. Sometimes it's brought in question, but the early church leaders all confirm and all agree that Luke is the one who wrote this book. Luke is referred to by name only 3 times in the New Testament, Colossians 4:14, 2 Timothy 4:11, and Philemon 24. From these references, we learn that he was a physician, that he was one of Paul's fellow workers, and that he was with Paul during his last dreadful imprisonment in Rome. When almost all the world abandoned him, he said, only Luke is with me. It is practically certain that he was a Gentile. You say, why do you know that? Well, his name is a Gentile name, and also history tells us where he was born at, which was in Antioch of Syria. So those are different things, some different interesting things that you think about Luke. Not only did he write this book, anybody else remember which book he wrote, the other book? Acts, that's right. When we went through Acts, he included that word "we" in there a number of times, and we believe he wrote the book of Luke. And everybody says, well, you know, Paul penned all this in the New Testament, and Paul did. But if you take the number of verses from Luke and the number of verses of Acts, you know what? Depending on who wrote Hebrews, and I think Paul did, but it comparable. I mean, both these two men were used by God to write a good majority of the New Testament. So I thought that was interesting. I think the time period in this time period is around 59 to 60 A.D., And you say, why is that important? Well, at this point in time, Matthew and Mark's gospel is being circulated. John's gospel has not been written yet. But it's kind of interesting, Luke, as you're going to read here and get this idea, that he learned from other people. Now, let me say, I believe the Bible is written under inspiration of God. I believe it is it's whole and complete and perfect. But God chose to use human instruments to pen those words. And I think Luke learned a lot from other people in writing this. And I think many of the people were still alive. He interviewed many of the people. The story about Mary, many people and commentators think he talked to Mary herself. And, you know, she talked more about the conception and things like that than any of the other books of the Bible. And Luke's is just really a neat book. He traveled around with Paul many times in his missionary journeys. He was known for being with Paul in Caesarea at the first imprisonment, one of his imprisonments. I don't know if it was first. Also, he was also known for being with Paul at the end. And you think about it. when Paul's in jail, there's people coming and seeing him all the time. And if Luke's sitting there, I don't think he's going to be sitting there being quiet. If there's somebody that knew Jesus or heard about Jesus or saw Jesus raised after he was raised from the dead, I think Luke's talking to them and interviewing him. And the book of Luke, in my mind, is kind of written in a sense like proving that there was a Jesus. And has written to, I believe, more of Gentiles in the Gentile world because they're presenting Jesus as the perfect man here. And Matthew, when it was written to the Jews, is presenting Jesus as the king and the Messiah. John, as we talked about, was writing in the idea of being God becoming man. And Mark was talking about the servanthood and the servitude, but here he is the Son of Man, he is man himself. So I when I read this, and we'll actually read verses 1-4, this is where we're going to look at when we get there. It says, "For as much as many has taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us." So he's saying, look, as we had, there's many taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration. He says, there's many people have done this before. You know, we know Matthew and Mark under inspiration of the gospel penned those gospels. But there was others who wrote gospels too, or not gospel, but others who wrote about the stories that just not found in the scripture, maybe not penned under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says that last phrase are most surely believed among us. So he's not trying to, in a sense, he says, these are things we believe. These are things that we know. Many people have written this. I understand that. I see this. I'm not saying mine's better than anyone else. We already believe these things. But look what he says in verse number 2. Even as they deliver them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. He's saying, these are things I learned from those that were eyewitnesses. And those that are ministers of the word. So those that saw Jesus and in a sense handled, you know, was there, was touched him in a sense and saw him when after he rose from the dead. And they were ministers. These are people that are speaking and preaching the word of God. These are the people he learned from. And he says in verse number 3, it seemed good to me also. And once again, Luke is saying he was led. And once again, all scripture is given by under an inspiration of God. So I believe he's led by the Spirit. But this was the work that he was called to do. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first. And once again, he had an understanding of things that were going on from the very beginning to write unto thee in order most excellent Theophilus. Now Theophilus is mentioned not only here with Luke, but also mentioned with Acts. We're going to talk a little bit about him at the end. But he is writing this to a particular individual and person. And it says, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. And so it's written to this man, written to all of us. The word Theophilus means lover of God. So in my mind, some people say this could have been an individual. I think it was an individual. I think it's someone who was a high-ranking official because he called him most excellent. You know, we don't walk around calling people most excellent. I don't go up to Mr. Martin and say, most excellent Bob Martin. I don't introduce him that way. But it's, you know, but there was noble Festus. There was noble Felix. Why? It's because he had a position in the Roman government. And he is writing this. Now, it could have been written to a person who he knew was a believer and did not want to use his name because of the fact that could cause him problems. Maybe. That's a lot of speculation there. Could have been written to all people who are lovers of God. Possibly. I don't know. Maybe we'll have to talk to Luke when he gets to heaven. But at the same time here is written that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So when I'm thinking of this, I'm thinking of this is going to teach us and show us some things that we don't know and that we don't understand. And the book of Luke gives us a lot of interesting things, even that are not found in the other gospels. The theme. The Gospel of Luke emphasizes the manhood of Jesus. Luke is a Greek writing to a Greek, Theophilus. The Greeks were idealists. The false gods of the Greeks were in the form of men. Luke presents Christ as the perfect man. He has none of the vices of the Greeks' false gods. He is holy, harmless, and undefiled Son of God. So the manhood, he is reaching out to a certain group here and he is teaching them and telling them. He is proving in a sense as like a research paper maybe is written as he's explaining these things. There are some special themes. We'll get to that in a second. Some statistics and some facts about about Luke. First, 1,151 verses. We're not going to take a verse a week. It's not going to take us 1,151 weeks. Thankful for that, right? But it is going to take us a while because there is a lot probably written 59, 60 AD. It is the most chronological gospel. You see in here when it says there's a spot in here, it says put things in order. And it's talking about how we're going to put these things in order so that way it's the most chronological. You'll learn in the other gospels, just like in this book, is not perfectly written. When we're going to look at John the Baptist today, when you hear me preach this morning, you're going to be like, well, pastor said it was written chronologically. Well, they introduce the fact that John was put in prison, and then they talk about Jesus getting baptized. Well, Jesus got baptized, and John got put in prison later on, but they were just telling a portion of what happened to John in there. So not all of it's written chronological, but this one, if you want a gospel that's going from step by step by step about the life of Jesus Christ, the book of Luke is that book. It's more chronological than any of the other ones. It talks about the childhood of Christ. It doesn't spend much time, doesn't mention much, but it does talk about the childhood of Christ. And there is some false teaching about the childhood of Christ. There's some people out there that have